Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. The band is back together. Our first time working together since exactly a week ago out in Las Vegas, now on FFC. Lisi, it is great to be back with you here on Football Full Circle. We'll look back at the end of this 2023 NFL season and look forward on today's episode.
Yeah, this is the offseason, Ben, right? The long offseason of college and pro football. It's devastating to me. I'm in a state of depression, but we'll look forward. We'll look at recaps. It's been a while since you and I have worked together, about a week. You're well rested. You're ready to talk NFL and college football, and there's a lot of things that we can look forward to for the 2024 season.
And we certainly will. Win totals out in college football now for a different landscape that we will see next year than the one we have seen in the previous decade or so. And I wish it was all happy being back together, Joe, but of course we start on a somber and devastating note. Yesterday was the Super Bowl parade in Kansas City for the Chiefs. For the second consecutive year, a Super Bowl parade in KC Mo. A day of celebration is what it started as. It ended in tragedy. 22 people shot at the end of the Super Bowl parade. One person has passed, 21 others wounded, including 9 children. It is the sad and unique reality of America that no place, even the celebration of a Super Bowl parade, can be seen as a safe environment, that kids can't just go to celebrate a Super Bowl winning team and leave unscathed. A day, Joe, that will be remembered and marred by a tragic incident at the end of what should have been only celebratory times.
Yeah, great point. Our hearts and prayers go out to everybody involved, the victims. It's just tragic circumstances, and we've seen it time and time again. And people there to celebrate, obviously, the Super Bowl championship for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're running for their lives. It's just terrible. And, you know, again, all we could say is tragic incident. Again, we pray for everybody involved, and hopefully not only the state, and the team in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs can heal, and the fan base as well. But we as a whole can heal in regards to this situation, because it is tragic, and hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience here on Sirius XM Channel 159. It is Football Full Circle. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. A Super Bowl championship for Kansas City will sadly always be marred by what happened at the Super Bowl parade yesterday in Kansas City. One person has passed, 21 others shot and wounded in a mass shooting following the Super Bowl parade yesterday in KC. 3 suspects have been detained and are in custody in Kansas City. No motive has been shared yet for what was behind this shooting. The Kansas City Chiefs did share that all players, staff, coaches, everybody involved with the Chiefs organization has been accounted for and is safe. But it really does strike me, Joe, that here we are in an event tied to the largest sporting event in the world, where you would think with all the law enforcement personnel that is there, it would actually be a very safe place to celebrate and to bask in the glory of a Super Bowl championship will always and sadly be and unfortunately be intrinsically tied to this tragic event yesterday in Kansas City. We'll go through the same routine that we always do, the same cycle. There will be the thoughts and prayers. There will be the calls to action by politicians and lawmakers who will say a bunch of things, but no real action will actually be undertaken. And that's the sad reality. It often feels helpless at times when you see events like yesterday. Maybe there will be something in the shock and the awe of it all that forces us into action to create a better future. So that was the unfortunate news at the end of the Super Bowl championship celebration for the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, as we continue moving forward, we go to college football now, where there is big news today about an EA Sports college football game, College Football 25, coming out sometime in this summer, which, of course, Joe, we're not going to break down a video game here on this radio show, but it does show the changing times and landscape in collegiate athletics. A part of the hiccup for what has delayed the release of this game was players being compensated for their name, image, and likeness in these games. We expect that to be the case. We expect it to be a sign of the times, and it will feature, of course, all the changes, the sweeping changes that we will see to the landscape of collegiate athletics starting in 2024.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself. We can break down EA 25 for the Texas route. Why not, huh? Are you kidding? The band, I used to run the triple option all the time. I tell you that, no matter what team I had, I used to run option all the time. I wanted to be like Jamel Holloway back in the day for Oklahoma. Yeah. But it's great. It's great for college football. You hear me perk up because I know you're excited as well. This is an added dimension for college football this year that we used to have back in the day, and you know, it just fuels the debate, it fuels the conversation. And now changing to a 12-team playoff, how does that affect some of these teams, you know, the Boise States and all of the others that cracked the party back in the day in terms of New Year's Six Bowls? Now they have an opportunity, you know, teams like Tulane and certain teams in terms of the Group of Five. Now if they win their conference, this leads to huge debate, which team is in, which team is out, and how does it play out in terms of the EA Sports type of matchup and setting? Because you know they used to use the simulator to see how these games played out throughout the year, so this is an added dimension, Ben, in terms of breaking down matchups. You run the game 1,000 times, who wins 999? I love this that we're talking EA Sports, you know, football number 25. Yeah, I'm pumped for this.
Me as well. Well, maybe, you know what we should do? We should have an official Football Full Circle stream of us putting together a dynasty for EA College Sports or College Football 25. And Joe and I will play together. We will form a team, and we will bring back – we don't want to go big, right? We don't want to be at the Power 2 level. We don't want to be in the Big Ten. We don't want to be in the SEC. We'll bring back, like, Hawaii. Or maybe Kent State. We will dominate the MAC and build up a program together. And then we'll throw our controllers into the wall when our quarterback, who just threw for 7,000 yards, transfers to Alabama to make more money.
Let's do it. I'm telling you, we can take it a step further. We should have an EA tournament for Sports Grid. I'll tell you that. We should stream that. Right? No doubt that K-Dubs will be Milrow, right?
No doubt. Yeah. He's gonna make a Jalen Milroe for whatever, you know. But K-Dubs is a guy that's like he's a front runner. He's a Notre Dame guy. He's a Jalen Milroe guy. So he'll probably go that route. You and I are in the weeds. You and I are known for the grit of college football. Yes. We can build up a program to be a dynasty in Toledo, Memphis, Ohio, or maybe out in the Mountain West. You know?
Memphis.
We'll talk about
Memphis,
that more.
Baby.
Memphis. All right, we'll talk about that more on the other side of the break and what it all means next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So a new college football game is coming out for the first time since NCAA Football 14. EA Sports College Football 25 is set to debut this summer. It has been put into practice. Full details coming out in a few months in May. Not only are we going to organize a Sports Grid EA Sports College Football 25 tournament, Joe Lisi and I might live stream us building a program together. You want to be Memphis because you want to play in the Liberty Bowl. I would have thought you would have taken UTEP so we could play the Sun Bowl, as you might consider it, Joe, the most beautiful setting in all of college football.
It is, but I don't like the uniforms for the minors.
Okay.
You know, that's why. And I'm actually contemplating, Ben, now that I think it through, Memphis is on the list because the Liberty Bowl is a fantastic setting. And I think if we're going to build it, right, like I actually want to take like Air Force and just run the triple option and see if we could, like, you know, just take them to a dynasty mode. Add some players in there and see what we could do. Like, I would like to do that. Just run triple option and then spread it out. Maybe we have a little, you're getting me thinking now, all the options and the possibilities. This is incredible.
It is now the offseason in college football and obviously at the NFL level as well. We are going to have plenty of time to dive through these kind of conversations. I think at a certain point, doesn't have to be today, it doesn't have to be tomorrow, it doesn't even have to be this week or next week, we will build out, Joe, our top five teams that we want to be the coach for, the organizer for in dynasty mode, to put together so that we can bring some schools that maybe are lesser known or don't have as much impact and could never be a college football playoff team in the current climate of the sport, to make them a part of the 12-team format, to have them play for a national championship. You know what's crazy? The last time we saw a college football video game, NCAA Football 14, the college football playoff wasn't even a thing yet. That's going to be so much fun to get to that round, to be one of the final 12 teams entering next year and have an opportunity to host a playoff game in a Liberty Bowl, to make a run to a national championship. That's good stuff.
Oh, it's fantastic. I would do it a little differently, though. I would incorporate, and I know that the home teams, you know, get the home game, which is important.
Yeah.
I would have incorporated the bowl situation there. Like, you know, the Sun Bowl, you got to play in UTEP, Texas, El Paso. Yeah. Have that type of setting even in the first round of the playoffs so that the bowl system is still alive and well. But, you know, we have home field advantage, and this is going to be incredible. I am curious. Curious to see, it's a feeling out process, how these coaches actually coach it up towards that first round game, right? That's going to be interesting as well. Do they rest some players heading into that first round matchup? What do they do in regards to game planning? It's going to be incredible. It's going to be electric, though, right? Those first round, you know, the first round of the college football playoff for the first time ever. It's going to be electric. I'm telling you, it's going to be unbelievable. Hopefully we're there, Ben.
Oof. Now you're talking road shows. I hope so, though, as well. We have win totals out in college football. We'll look at those throughout this offseason. But, of course, Joe, as we look back in the end of an NFL season in 2023, some news yesterday that was a little bit surprising for the team that came up short in Super Bowl 58. That would be the San Francisco 49ers. After only one season, and for a good majority of that single season, where the 49ers were one of the top five defenses in all of the National Football League, Kyle Shanahan announces yesterday a change to his coaching staff. Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator this past season in San Francisco, has been fired. He is no longer going to be the DC moving forward for the 49ers, a defense that certainly regressed throughout the postseason on its run to a Super Bowl. I wouldn't necessarily blame the defense, but they could not come up with a stop, of course, on that final possession as Kansas City walked it off on the play known as corndog to Mecole Hardman. I don't know, Joe, if it's necessarily all on Steve Wilks, who seems to be the guy that is often blamed for these things. Last year, the interim head coach in Carolina, after serving as the defensive coordinator under Matt Rhule, made that team wildly competitive, winning games at the end of the year for the Panthers. Has no real consideration for that full-time head coaching position. We know what happened. Frank Reich fired after 11 games. Now Dave Canales, the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Steve Wilks goes to San Francisco, has to replace the big shoes of DeMeco Ryans, does a sensational job to start, a little bit shaky at the end, and ultimately, when you're falling short in the Super Bowl, there is that reaction to it. But Joe, did you think it was too reactionary for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers franchise to let go of Steve Wilks?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Steve Wilks, the way he coached in terms of Carolina, deserved that job. That was last year. This year, I didn't think he deserved to be chopped after the Super Bowl. I thought it was Kyle Shanahan making a move to potentially take the pressure off of, you know, him and, more importantly, his mistakes in terms of the Super Bowl, because the glaring mistakes in terms of taking the football first in the overtime period, in quarter, the not taking the timeouts at the end of the first half, that was and Steve Wilks. He didn't help out his defense in any capacity in regards to his play calls in the second half either. So, yeah, all right, you could say it's not a Shanahan guy. I've heard that as well, and we've talked about that on the network this week. But at the end of the day, it wasn't Steve Wilks coaching this team down. It was Kyle Shanahan making the decisions that ultimately cost his team a Super Bowl championship. And unfortunately, he decides to cut his defensive coordinator that I actually thought did a pretty good job. Yeah, the defense tailed off to a slight degree, but they were still above average, very good in run support. And when you contain Pat Mahomes for basically the whole first half and hold them for 3 points, I mean, that was a pretty good effort by that front seven.
I thought so as well. 25-22, the final, of course, in overtime. Even then, the game still staying under the pregame number of 47.5. Kansas City punted the football 5 times. They kicked 4 field goals in that matchup as well. It wasn't a defense necessarily that was getting gouged when you look at the final numbers for Patrick Mahomes, combining for nearly 400 total yards, 333 through the air, 66 with his legs on the ground. Okay, yeah, big numbers for the most important player in the sport, but Isaiah Pacheco, 18 carries, only 59 yards. It was a pretty good defensive format, Joe, and for what we saw in most of Super Bowl 58, yeah, it got intense in the final half of that fourth quarter, but for most of the game, it was Big Ten West football. It was punt, field goal, punt, field goal. That was really the story of the game until we got to the last little bit of the fourth quarter. Ultimately, Steve Wilks' defense came up short, needing a stop after the 49ers, who elected to receive in overtime, having no clue what the actual updated overtime rules were in the postseason. After they got the field goal to start on that opening possession, they could not hold Kansas City out of the end zone, and that cost San Francisco ultimately, but it's not all on that final possession or what happened. In fact, the reason the defense was put into that precarious position was because of the decision Kyle Shanahan made. And when you had multiple 49ers, Joe, and I'm sure you've had this debate a ton this week on the network, but because of that decision that Kyle Shanahan made, that put the defense in the bad spot, and that's all on the head coach.
Yeah, absolutely, and you bring up great points. And think about this. Like, it doesn't matter what defense was out there, even if it was Spagnuolo's defense out there. They weren't getting a stop. You're not getting a stop in that situation. Once the defense allows the field goal like Kansas City did, and you give Pat Mahomes the football with a chance to win it, it's over. You know that. I mean, yeah, maybe you could get an interception, but that's asking for so much. Your defense is at so much of a disadvantage, especially with the penalties, the ability for Pat Mahomes to tuck it in, run like he did and multiple times and lead that team in rushing with 66 yards, you're at a complete disadvantage. So, yeah, did his defense give up the touchdown? They did, but in every defense was giving up a touchdown in that situation.
Yeah, and it was a very difficult spot to be in. We'll take an early look at the Super Bowl 59 odds. It's never really all that early to dive in. On the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle. And then some NFL draft discussions coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is never too early, even this early into an NFL offseason, to look at next year's Super Bowl prices. The San Francisco 49ers booked as the favorites to win Super Bowl 59 that will be played in New Orleans in just under a year's time at 5-1. The Chiefs, the second best number, at plus 650, a full $1.50 of separation. $2.50, the drop off to the Baltimore Ravens, third best number for the flock at 9-1. Detroit and Buffalo tied for the fourth best price at 12-1 to round out the top five. Joe, let's start with San Francisco. We just talked about the decision to move on from Steve Wilks. The 49ers yet again falling short in a Super Bowl for the third time in the last decade plus in the National Football League. Once was with Jim Harbaugh against Baltimore. The other time with Kyle Shanahan 5 years ago against these Kansas City Chiefs, and now, of course, 4 years later against this same Chiefs team. The last two times under Kyle Shanahan, the San Francisco 49ers have had a double-digit lead at some point in the football game over the Chiefs, and they have squandered that opportunity. Joe, we lambast the Dallas Cowboys, and rightfully so, for their failures in the postseason in the most significant stages when it matters most since last winning the Super Bowl in 1995. 13 playoff appearances in that span since 1995. They've never even reached an NFC championship game. San Francisco has had more postseason success than that of Dallas since the 49ers' last Super Bowl championship in 1994, but they have not won another Lombardi Trophy in that span. 8 NFC title game appearances, 3 Super Bowl berths now, never a Lombardi Trophy. Do you agree then with San Francisco being booked as the favorite to win next year's Super Bowl?
No, I think it should be Kansas City, and because of Pat Mahomes, it doesn't matter who's around him. Pat Mahomes makes everybody better, and as long as he's healthy, they're going to be there in the end. I understand that people think that or perceive the NFC as being a little bit weaker, and they have a nucleus coming back, but I talked about it all week and get your opinion on it. You know, has the window passed potentially for San Francisco? Brandon Ayuk wants out, it looks like, right? So he might move on. You have your quarterback of the future in regards to Brock Purdy. You got two full, I would say, clean years out of Christian McCaffrey where he wasn't really nagging injuries, right? He had some, you know, minor injuries, but he was still able to play in the playoffs and the postseason, and that's a huge benefit. Are you going to get that clean of a run in 2024? And where is Kyle Shanahan as a coach? We talked about it on Pro Football Today throughout the year and throughout the week leading up to the Super Bowl. Is he almost like Andy Reid in terms of Philadelphia? You know, where he could get the team to a certain point but can't get over the hump. And it wasn't until Andy Reid moved on from Philly to KC that he won 3 Super Bowls. That is the concern, in my opinion, in terms of back in San Francisco. On top of that, yeah, you have teams in the division that are getting stronger, right? Seattle with a new head coach, Mike McDonald. We saw what the Rams were able to do in a rebound with Sean McVay and obviously Stafford and Puka Nacua. They're going to be right there. If that defense gets better, they can challenge potentially San Francisco. So I would say no, they don't deserve to be there. They're in the top three, obviously, but not the top dogs in regards to the odds, Ben.
Yeah, I would agree with that because there's the narrative around Kyle Shanahan, right? When he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, the historic comeback from the Patriots in Super Bowl 51, 28-3, right? Okay, he was the OC there. He wasn't the head coach. Different team, different organization. But now twice In a Super Bowl, his San Francisco team has had a double-digit lead that they have squandered. So there is the narrative, all right, different circumstances, an all-time great, an all-time dynasty in Kansas City, led by Patrick Mahomes, yada, 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 so on and so forth. So there is that narrative, Joe, that we can build from these certain situations. But then there's also the proof in the pudding. And when your team, when it's raw, when it's fresh, and you know it's going to be honest, comes out and says, we didn't know the overtime rules. We found out as we looked up at the scoreboard inside Allegiant Stadium. We found out the updated postseason overtime rules the same time as Donna Kelsey and Taylor Swift up in the box. That is on one man and solely one man responsible for running the organization, and that is Kyle Shanahan. And that's a legitimate, pointed note that you can look at, Joe, and say, is this guy best in every single scenario? Meanwhile, you hear the Chiefs say after the game, each and every week throughout the playoffs, we would reiterate and stress what our plan was if the game had to be decided in overtime, what our plan of action was, what our strategy was, and why we thought it was the best outcome for us. And on the largest stage in the sporting universe, the San Francisco 49ers said, we didn't really know what was happening. That's only tied to one man, and that is Kyle Shanahan. So there's the narrative, and there's the actual prime example. At times, maybe the moment is just a little bit too much.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Or that, you know, he gets tight, and that's the thing. You know, that it's when he's scripted and in the first half where it's not so much pressure, he's able to call a very clean game plan and understand mismatches, and he could do that. When the game has to adjust and all of a sudden now the game is on the line, that's where Kyle Shanahan gets very conservative, sometimes ultra conservative, and doesn't utilize the weapons that he has because I just going back and watching that game, Ben, I still don't believe he created one-on-one opportunities in terms of the vertical passing game to get the ball to Brandon Ayuk, to utilize Christian McCaffrey in the second half in the screen game or in the passing game because they had mismatches. I mean, he had 54 receiving yards in the first half, and he only had the big reception in the overtime. For two quarters, he never utilized the passing game for McCaffrey. So that's what I believe. I agree with that, but I guess only time will tell if he does get them back to a Super Bowl this coming season, then he's going to have to win it.
Yeah, absolutely so. So, listen, San Francisco booked as the favorite right now at 5-1. We would expect a lot of the same cast and crew to be back. We'll see what Brandon Ayuk's future is in San Francisco. They will need to hire a new defensive coordinator for the 49ers as well. Again, it might seem like it's crazy to bet something right now on February 15th that won't come to fruition for about 362 days. But if you were to bet the Chiefs at plus 650 right now, there's a good chance you're going to find profitability on that ticket, either throughout a playoff run and in the division round, conference championship game, so on and so forth, or even cash that ticket as the Chiefs look to be the first three-time consecutive three-peat champion in Super Bowl history. The Ravens at 9-1, the Lions at 12-1, the Bills also at 12-1. Joe, do any of those three teams behind San Francisco and Kansas City that round out the top five catch your eye?
Buffalo, I would say Buffalo, but again, Buffalo has same major thing. Concerns. I mean, Stephon Diggs, non-factor. I would say Detroit, but the concern for me is Goff. Is he going to put the back-to-back years the way he did this year? I believe in Dan Campbell, but I don't believe in the defense overall. So, and Baltimore, yeah, great. They look great during the regular season, but when push comes to shove, Lamar Jackson has yet to fail to win a big matchup and the contest. So I'd say no. I mean, if I'm betting the board, I look past the Dallas Cowboys right there with Cincinnati and everybody behind them.
Yeah, 15-1 for Cincy, 15-1 for Dallas. There are only a few other teams when you look up and down this list for the Super Bowl 59 odds right now that has any bit of worth of postseason pedigree and success. That would be the Bengals at 15-1 with a healthy Joe Burrow. Is there value on a price that is tied now for the sixth best alongside the Dallas Cowboys? Of course, the Eagles, who made it to Super Bowl 57, fell just 3 points shy of winning a Lombardi Lombardi Trophy against the Kansas City Chiefs. The main reason you could argue there was a huge drop-off for Philadelphia this year is under their CEO head coach, Nick Sirianni, the coordinators changed, they fell off, they're gone, and now you have Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. Have to be optimistic about that for Philadelphia. The Rams at 30-1, but we wonder exactly what that's going to be. Everybody else, Joe, is either optimism for what could be or teams that have fallen short that you hope to change that narrative. Lamar Jackson, the Buffalo Bills coming up short time and again in the divisional round for the last 3 years. The Lions reached heights we had never really seen in the modern history of the NFL, at least the last 30 years or so. Can they capitalize that on once again, keeping everybody in-house? Ben Johnson returns, Aaron Glenn on the defensive side of the football. That is a recipe for success. And Joe, I'm just going to say this. When you look at the NFC, that's your path to kind of find those plots of value to a Super Bowl, to a conference championship game. The AFC is loaded. And you know what you are going to get. Patrick Mahomes is 28 years old. Lamar Jackson, younger than that. Josh Allen, he's 28 years old. Joe Burrow, he is 27 years old. Tua Tagovailoa, under 30 years old. C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, you keep it moving throughout other teams that maybe can make their way in the AFC. If Justin Herbert becomes anything now under Jim Harbaugh, pretty much every quarterback of note, Joe, in the AFC for any of these potential playoff contenders is 28 years old or younger. We are going to see a landscape potentially in the AFC that looks the same as it did this year, next year, and for many years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's why I would only look to maybe Burrow at 15-1 and even C.J. Stroud. He could be like maybe Burrow, right? They got to the playoffs. Yeah. They won a playoff game and they get knocked out by the Baltimore Ravens at 25-1. That has value. The only teams I could look at in the NFC, Ben, you mentioned the Eagles. It would be the Packers and the Rams at that value.
I knew you were going to say the Packers. Cannot wait to see what year two as a starter holds for Jordan Love after what he put on paper since pretty much the end of November. 23-1, that price for Green Bay. So those are the quarterbacks now. How about the QBs of the future? NFL draft discussions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So there are many events that will come from now throughout the National Football League offseason. Free agency, probably some blockbuster trades and deals around the league. Of course, we have the scouting combine coming up at the end of this month in Indianapolis. But the combine is a thing because the NFL draft is the next mega event the NFL will hold in late April. 25th through the 27th, the 2024 NFL draft. I believe in Detroit or Cleveland?
Yep.
We'll figure that out.
Detroit.
For the 2024 NFL draft. Will Joe Lisi and I be there? Or might we just be in a city that kind of look what?
That would be great if we're there. I tell you what.
Set the odds. Set the odds for us.
I think for us to be there, I'm going to say plus 100.
Yeah. Even money to the yes.
Yep.
Okay. I like the optimism. I'm going to think it's a slight minus money to the no, but we'll probably be doing some remote show for it at the end of April. Anyway, Joe, that is the next big event up for the National Football League at the end of April in the Motor City. The Chicago Bears hold the number one overall pick, followed by the Washington Commanders, and then the New England Patriots. To round out the top 10, it's Arizona, the Chargers, the Giants, the Titans, the Falcons, the Bears once again with their own pick, and the New York Jets. That's the top 10 of the opening round of the 2024 NFL draft. And we focus on the top. Number one overall, the Chicago Bears. Let's start with this question, Joe. Will the Bears move on from Justin Fields, or will they keep Fields and trade away that number one overall pick?
I think they're going to move on from him because from what I've read and what I, you know, can surmise, Pittsburgh is heavily interested in Justin Fields. So I think that he potentially moves to Mike Tomlin and the Steel City. And then that opens the door for Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick for Chicago. Would I make that pick if I was the GM or I was Eberflus? Absolutely not. I think you build the team around Justin Fields. But, you know, Chicago hasn't been to a Super Bowl since what, 1985? It's been Lovie Smith, 2010, 2011. Yeah. It's been a very long time. So I just don't think they'll make the right decision. I think they'll move on from Justin Fields. They just don't know how to coach him. So that's why I think they'll move on from him because of the defensive-minded Eberflus at the helm.
So you know that if you've been listening to any Sports Grid content over the last 3 years, you know that Joe Lisi and I are both big believers in backers and still believers in Justin Fields. Now, I say that, Joe, he will have a long and successful NFL career as a starting quarterback in this league. I just don't think it's in Chicago anymore. It feels as though the environment has soured and the situation has gone south. Justin Fields has given glimpses. Has he really shown enough yet to solidify himself as a franchise quarterback? I would also say that despite my optimism in his abilities, no, he hasn't. He has not taken over in the way that Chicago needed him to, either because of his issues, coaching issues, whatever it might be with the Bears. But the situation is not good, it seems, for either side. Is there a positive direction to move forward? That's where I think things remain to be seen. Ultimately, I believe what the Bears will do is hold on to that first overall pick and draft Caleb Williams. But it is very interesting, Joe, in the environment that is going to happen. When the Bears decided to keep Matt Eberflus, it's like they were building on a core and a roster that won five of its final eight games to show a little bit of optimism in the Windy City. So you keep Matt Eberflus, you would then think naturally you keep the quarterback in which they found some better play toward the end of the year, and you figure out together if this is the time and the two most important figures in your organization to lead things forward. Of course, that is complicated when you have the opportunity to have two top 10 draft picks, including number one overall. But to keep Matt Eberflus and then let go of Justin Fields puts Caleb Williams into a precarious situation that Fields found himself in as well. Because unless Caleb Williams in his rookie year as a quarterback leads the Bears to a playoff spot or at least a winning record, do you keep Matt Eberflus into year number four? Or is Matt Eberflus now a lame duck sitting head coach, Joe, that if things do not work with Caleb in his rookie campaign, of course, you are now invested into the quarterback. You let go of the coach. And there's been some changes to the coaching staff. Shane Waldron, now the offensive coordinator in the Windy City. But with all that being said, are you putting Caleb Williams into a dire situation as well, where now you have your rookie quarterback not in the best situation? He might have to play under a new head coach in only his second year in the league and have to learn two offensive systems in his 2 years as a National Football League starting quarterback. That's why the decision to keep Eberflus and to let go of Fields almost seems like they work in dichotomy, Joe, like they're not parallel together, they're perpendicular.
Yeah, they are. And the only reason why Eberflus has his job, Ben, is because the defense got better down the stretch and they were able to eke out ball games and win them at the end to make the record look respectable. Outside of that, this team was dead and buried in the first half of the season. So the organization says, you know what? With the right elements from an offensive perspective, we potentially can take this team to the next level, which is completely asinine when you think about it, because Eberflus could only get you to a certain level. That's what I believe. I don't think he's a very good head coach. Certainly not an offensive mind. Everything he does is on the defensive side of the ball. He's a better coordinator than he is a head coach, right? And look at what they did in terms of the draft last year. They surrounded Justin Fields with all defensive talent. Nobody to help him out from an offensive perspective. So, all right, you get Caleb Williams here. Let's just assume they draft him and they move on from Justin Fields. Okay, so there's going to be growing pains in year one. There's going to be high highs and very low lows with Caleb Williams, right? Expecting him to have the type of success that we saw with C.J. Stroud is not – you can't make that assessment. The reason why I say that is unless you're going to put Caleb Williams into the exact same offense that he ran with Lincoln Riley, you're not going to have the same similar type of productivity. And you know what? They didn't do that with Justin Fields either. So that's why I think it's just a train wreck waiting to happen. Yeah. And we're going to see this where Caleb Williams, they're going to be hurting his career as opposed to making him one of the best quarterbacks potentially in the NFL.
No doubt about it. You could make the argument for Justin Fields. You could make the argument for many a quarterback that was drafted in the opening round. That was it really them not living up to the talent or the expectation? Or is the situation miserable? I've heard Matt Leinart talk about that so many times, that in his 7 years in the NFL, he had six different offensive coordinators. How are you supposed to thrive in that system? Patrick Mahomes, for as great as he is, has been under the same guy the entire time in the same offensive philosophy with a lot of the same pieces around. Sure, Tyreek Hill is not there anymore. There's not that number one wide receiver as of this moment for Kansas City, and yet it's the same thing, and they've won consistently. A lot of times, quarterbacks will tell you it's not about where you're drafted or when you're drafted. It's about the situation you find yourself in. The Bears might be a storied organization, but if Eberflus is going to be gone next year and Caleb Williams is learning under a new rookie head coach or a first-year head coach in that situation, the expectation is not going to be, all right, hey, 7-10 this year. Let's stay at 7-10, maybe 8-9. No. It's get to the playoffs. It's have a winning record. And that's a tough burden even for the most talented rookie quarterbacks. And, Joe, Caleb Williams, and I know there were some things at USC toward the end of last season. A 7-5 record for the Trojans. They mildly stumbled down the stretch. Caleb fell off a little bit in terms of his play, not quite at the Heisman level we saw a year prior, even in the early portion of the 2023 college football season. But in my mind, Joe, he's still quarterback number one. He's still the best player in this draft, and the odds makers agree. To be that first overall pick, Caleb Williams a hefty favorite at -1500. Again, it bears repeating in terms of betting the NFL draft that if you bet Caleb Williams to go first overall, it doesn't have to be the Bears making the first overall pick. It's just that Caleb Williams is the first name called on the opening night of the draft, Thursday, April 25th in Detroit. Ultimately, Joe, do you believe Caleb Williams is going to be that first overall selection?
Yeah, probably. I would say the only other player I would take a shot at, and I believe he's 30-1, is Jaden Daniels because of his performance. And what I'm hearing and reading is that, you know, depending upon the fit, if there is a trade, you have the opportunity to potentially steal value. So I'm not going to bet Caleb Williams. I would only take a long shot. I actually believe, and I've talked about this, Ben, the number two slot, I'm starting to wiggle it down and take players off. Like, I believe if Washington stays pat at number two, there is no shot they take Drake May with the number two overall selection. Ooh. That's where I'm looking to make some money in terms of that process.
Okay, I actually slightly disagree. Drake May, an odds-on favorite at -160. Here's what I will say just to preface this. I think we see three quarterbacks go off the board, 1, 2, and 3. I think the Bears ultimately draft Caleb Williams first overall. The Commanders are in desperate need of a quarterback with a new head coach in Dan Quinn, the new offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury. Might Washington be making a few calls toward Chicago to see if they can move up to get Caleb Williams to reunite Cliff Kingsbury with the guy he coached a season ago at Southern Cal? That remains speculation. But ultimately, I think a quarterback goes second to Washington and a quarterback goes third to the New England Patriots. Gerard Mayo, the new head coach for this Patriots organization, said in so many words, we are going to draft the most important position at third overall. He didn't say quarterback. He didn't say who they were going to take, of course, but the most important position is QB. So I think we see 1, 2, 3, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. The order I would have is Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Why do you not believe, Joe, the Commanders would select Drake May if they stay at two?
Okay, so here's my thought process. We've seen North Carolina quarterbacks struggle. Mitch Trubisky and obviously Sam Howell in Washington. So hear me out. Please. They draft Sam Howell last year. So you're telling me you're going to go with the number two overall selection and then just draft his predecessor in terms of Drake May that took over for Sam Howell. That's where the shock and awe factor that you're going to go with the new regime with a North Carolina quarterback. Here's the problem. You have Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, that stepped up, has dynamic performances. He's mobile. He stepped up in the biggest games on the LSU Tigers schedule. Whether they won those games or not, he still produced. You have Drake May that started the year in two straight years, started basically undefeated or fell off a cliff in the final month of the regular season. Not once, but twice he did it. Okay, even though it's maybe average to slightly above average, you know, players around him, what do you think you're going to get in the NFL? If he can't handle that, I mean, come on. I do not believe Washington, maybe New England, but certainly not the Commanders at number two with Drake May. So if the Commanders stay pat, I think they go to Jaden Daniels. There is no shot, I believe, they go with Drake May.
So there are the ties, right? North Carolina quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, Sam Howell. Trubisky was second overall back in 2017 by the Chicago Bears, yada, yada, yada. For me, though, Joe, comparing Drake May and Sam Howell, who was a fifth-round draft pick by a previous regime and organization, is not the reason this Commanders franchise, under new ownership, let alone a new head coach and general manager, would lean away from Drake May. I love Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to be the third overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. I do not believe he goes in front of Drake May. But we will say this on the other side of the break, Joe. Mark these numbers in right now because they are going to change in drastic ways in each and every spot for the next few weeks. We'll talk about that next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more moments. So here we are, Joe. We're about 2 months out, a little bit over that, from the 2024 NFL Draft. Again, April 25th is the night of the opening round, that first round out in Detroit. The numbers that we see now, even for Caleb Williams, Joe, to go first overall, are going to change. They're either going to get stronger, there's going to be something that comes out about Caleb Williams and nobody showing up to his birthday party, and maybe it's a minus 350 price. These numbers are going to change drastically. We see it each and every year. Joe, you remember last year, right before the draft, I'm talking 25 minutes until the first pick was going to be announced, that it was maybe going to be Will Levis. There was a lot of steam on that Thursday. It ends up being Bryce Young. He closes as like a minus 10,000 favorite. And then C.J. Stroud, who might not have even been picked in the first 2 days, ends up getting a ton of steam to be a minus 2,000 favorite to go second overall, which is where we all thought he would go in the first place. But there had been so much about him in the draft process that he moved off of that number. So it's almost a point for me, Joe, to see these numbers right now, make sense of them, find your game plan, but trust your gut because you're probably right if you've been following this all along to where you feel now, to what is actually going to end up happening, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstance by the time we get to late April.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say this. Wait till after the combine because you're going to get that workout warrior that all of a sudden, you know, wows everybody and flies up the draft charts or has a great pro day. So pick a guy, you know, in terms of the front runners, too. We saw Will Anderson go from 30 to 1 basically to even money, and he got taken third overall. So there's always the potential for somebody to wow someone in terms of the combine or pro day that could steal the thunder from all of these guys. But we'll see how this plays out over the next couple of months.
You know who that's going to be, right? That workout warrior, the person that impresses? No. It's going to be your guy. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. There's going to be so much steam on the 2023 Heisman winner and all that he can do playing the quarterback position. That is my pick for the workout warrior or Brock Bowers. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Football Full Circle starting at noon Eastern.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.